When Mozart sits down to paint, he just paints. I don't think the first time Mozart sat down to paint, he thought he was going to be an incredible painter.
Oh, music.
What?
Mozart's music.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, music.
It is. It is indeed music. At 11:39 on a Thursday morning here with The Invasion, it's Corby, it's Matt. We will have, coming up in 20 minutes, Merez Johnson Jr., his introductory press conference. He will be answering questions from the media as we hear from him for the first time. And also, General Manager Mike Schmitz, he will be up there with him as well. So be looking forward to that about 20 minutes from now. But it is indeed time for Boy Music, brought to you by Globe Life.
Okay, so over the weekend, I started getting a million text messages from friends that there was an incident at a concert from a band that I am in love with. The band is Goose, the jam band from up in the Northeast that just came down here and played a month ago or so? I can't remember. A couple of months? Sometime around there. I went and saw them in Birmingham, and then they came here a couple of weeks later, and we all went out to Toyota Music Factory and saw them there. They're awesome. I'm going to go see them in Colorado this summer and can't wait to do that. I'm way into them. And anyway, beyond all that, they're playing in Madison Square Garden. And it's a sold-out show. There's 20,000 people, you know, at the show having a good time. And during an intermission, a man fell from the third level of the garden onto the first level into the seats and obviously died very quickly, if he didn't die instantaneously. And the band was made aware of it after the show was over with. They knew that there was a medical emergency, but they didn't know what. They had no idea that someone fell off the balcony and it died. And so they were told afterwards what had happened. And I think this is pretty commonplace, and I'll get to that here in a second why. But we've learned in the last couple of days, maybe in the last 24 hours, that the guy didn't fall. The guy took a header. The guy dove from the third floor over the railing and the glass enclosure that keeps you safe, over the top of it down onto the first floor to his death.
So drunk, or he was trying to do this?
He was trying, yes. Now, probably both, probably more than drunk, I would assume. But maybe this was like he was suicidal. I don't know. I don't.
Because I had read where he was celebrating his 25th wedding anniversary, yes, with his wife.
Yes.
And that's why they were at the show.
He's 51 years old. Yeah. They were at the show celebrating there. They're both big Goose fans or whatever. And sounds like maybe something got out of control in the drug situation. Like just lost his mind. But the people that were up there next to him said that he was acting very intoxicated in whatever form and dove over the top. Now, would you be able to stay at the show? One, if you saw that happen, if you were sitting up there, or if you were part of the people that he fell on.
The people that he fell on, I think I'm leaving.
Now, everybody's okay. Which is a miracle.
No one got hurt from a 200-plus-pound body landing on.
Yeah, I know.
From 30 feet up.
It was intermission, and a lot of people had gone to the restroom or gone to get, you know, a drink or whatever. And
jeez,
so,
man.
But yeah, like, it was. I mean, apparently it was as you can imagine, a bloody mess. But I think I would be more traumatized as being the one that saw him jump.
I don't know, because I feel like if I did
that,
you'd
be like, oh my God!
I know, like, oh, that was weird. Maybe I just keep
no,
going.
No, you would not. No.
I don't know.
It's
might
like seeing a guy run into traffic. Like, you're right? Either way, it's horrific, and, you know, I'm sure more will come out. I read that there was a video of it.
What?
That someone had, like, just randomly, you know.
And now they're just waiting to sell it to someone?
Oh, I don't know if anybody would take that. I think that's a little too gruesome. I don't know.
There's a lane for it, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I mean, all that stuff, that's, I don't know how I would react in that situation. I mean, I always get nervous Hell, you can be at the American Airlines Center, and if you're sitting up towards the top, you know, I always wonder how you don't hear about more people falling down the stairs that are just plowing through beers doing that.
I know. Like, you just take a tumble. So, yeah, it's a horrific story. And then the band found out afterwards that, yeah, hey, guys, someone died. And this is how it happened. And so I haven't heard from the band, but I don't
know them.
No. I'm saying no. I don't know them. Oh. I haven't heard from the band publicly on what they would, if they were, and I don't think they would ever say this, but I bet you there was some infighting between the guys. Like, we probably should have known that and probably shouldn't have played. Right?
But just stop the show.
Yeah. And like, we'll make this up to you guys, but we can't go on right now. Someone took a header.
Well, I wonder, that's got to be something where maybe it gets to them through their manager or whomever it is that knows the situation and decides, okay, I'm not going to tell them what I know. Like, hey, there was an accident, medical emergency, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Keep playing.
Well, not nearly the same thing, but it does make you think about Astro World, where they're heavily aware of what is going on in the crowds. There are crowd control people that are specifically there to it. If something like that goes down, to let people know so that that can be relayed to whoever needs to know on stage.
And you're talking about the Travis Scott show. Yeah, where a bunch of people were killed there. Well, this all started, and as far as a band not knowing about something, which is, this is amazing to me, this all started with the what's still known as the number one tragedy in concerts. It happened in 1979 when The Who were making a big comeback tour because their drummer had just passed away. And so they had this huge tour plan. And one of these cities was Cincinnati. And they were playing at, I believe, Riverfront Stadium. It was 18,000 in Cincinnati. Are you aware of this story?
No.
Okay. So at about a radio station announced that the... Well, first off, it's an 18,000-seat arena. Okay. So just imagine this scenario, 18,000-seat arena. How many were GA, so like a pit area, you know, like where it's first come, first serve?
Yeah.
And then how many were actual seats, reserved seats?
I mean, I couldn't imagine a couple thousand at most on the floor.
Right. 18,000 seats, 14,000 of them were general admission, meaning first come, first serve. So you know... Yes. You know the scene that we see every week at a Cowboy game when the doors open?
What?
Yeah. 14,000. And I guess this is the way concerts were done back in the day.
No way.
You storm the freaking castle. Yes. And it was just you run to the front of the stage. Oh my God. And then you know, then the seats fill in. And then there are 3,000 reserve seats. That's it. In an 18,000 seat arena. That number should be completely flipped.
Yes.
So a radio station announced that the doors were going to open at a certain time. And so all the 13,000 people are there waiting for the doors to open. They don't open.
Oh, no.
And at some point, so there are multiple entrances, like they are for every arena. At some point, someone, an usher, a worker, or whatever, opened the doors on like the left side of the arena at Riverfront Stadium. So a couple of thousand people are on that side, and they run down there, okay? So then word spreads to the people standing. There's no cell phones, obviously, or anything.
Right,
word spreads like, bro, those doors are open over there. So then there's a mad rush to get to those doors. And in the meantime, during all of this, there's conflicting reports that somebody started playing something over the PA. And it sounded like The Who. And so the people that were standing at the doors are like, the concert's starting. All the while in the last like hour and a half, they were banging on the doors and stuff and pressing up there against it. Well, somebody heard something, and then this mad rush turned into literally breaking down doors with the severity of the crowd pushing behind them.
Jesus.
And doors flew open, and instantly people dropped to the ground. And are trampled.
Yeah, get crushed.
Yes. And 11 people died.
That's unbelievable.
Between the ages of 15 and 22 died, you know, being trampled or whatever. And so this all happened at 7:15. So the band's going on around 8 o'clock or whatever. So they're trying to make sense of all this from a security standpoint, from a medical standpoint. It is chaos. Now, everything happened right where the doors opened, within 10 feet of the arena, 20 feet of the arena. That's where everybody dropped. And the band knew something was going on. The manager knew everything that was going on and was seeing bodies carried out one after the other.
Oh, jeez, dude.
And the Who had no idea. And they played the whole show, not knowing anything. And after the show, they lost it. Meaning they lost it on their people, they lost it on the venue, they lost it on everyone. Like, are you effing kidding me? And they were so traumatized by it all, they couldn't play Cincinnati ever again. And they didn't come back to Cincinnati. This happened in 1979. They finally got their wits about them to go play it in like 2022.
Jeez, man.
And they had all the families there. They had a huge memorial for everyone. But you're talking about, you know, 40 years later or whatever it is. But yeah, you talk about a band, one guy taking a header at Madison Square Garden, the band kept playing and they didn't know. Then this one, it was, you know, the worst tragedy that ever happened at a concert up to that point, and the band played the whole show. It's crazy. Absolutely nuts. But yeah, that's the story of the Who in Cincinnati.
I'd never heard of that before.
Yeah.
That's so scary. I'm honestly surprised you don't hear that a little bit more at big concerts and the festivals and things that you see that people are at.
My parents subscribed to Time magazine at the time, no pun intended, and I didn't know the story. I'm not watching local news or anything. I'm 10 years old or 8, 9 years old. But I got that, and on the cover of it, it said, like, tragedy in Cincinnati.
Jeez.
And I'm like, well, what does this mean? And I opened it up, I read it, and I've always been traumatized by that story since I was a kid. But, yeah, it's nuts.